Ma'adim v'simcha, world. Today's daf in Masechet Sota, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Yud Gimel. We were holding at the bottom of Yud Beis Amud Beis, and I think we got up. Yeah, three lines up. So we were in the middle of discussing the Inyanim in Mitzrayim, very suited for these days of Pesach, and we were talking about Miriam and her relationship with Kalev, and the way that that has to do with the entirety of her Nevi'ahs, the way that Rashi understands the various names of Kalev being related specifically to Miriam and to the Chet HaMeraglim, which shows that there was a direct connection between her Nevi'ahs and the Chavivas of Doshim Teret Yisrael and the Chet HaMeraglim in the end, which is Merumas in Rashi. But anyway, let's continue. So this Nevi'ahs of hers started when she was very young. As it says in the Pasuk, Vatikach Miriam Nevi'ah Achot Aharon. So at the Yam, which this is exactly what we're going to be reading Bezrat Hashem tomorrow on the seventh day of Pesach. So it says, Vatikach Miriam Nevi'ah Achot Aharon. Why in the world is it calling Miriam Nevi'ah the Achot Aharon? And she's like, pretty much Achot Moshe too, wouldn't you say? I mean, this was like, Oz Yashim Moshe of Bnei Yisrael, so then it should say, Tikach Miyam HaNeviyah Achot Moshe. Ella, the point is, Achot Aaron v'lo Achot Moshe. Omrev Amram Amarav Amri Lomrev Nachman Amarav. This teaches us that she was a Neviyah, specifically as Achot Aaron, before Moshe was even born. And that Gufa was her Neviyahs. Melamed Shaita mitnaba kishihi achot Aaron, and she was the one who said, Atidai mishetele bein shemoshia es Yisrael. This is quite remarkable because it means that the specific relationship of Miriam to the Shirat Hayam was through this Nevi'ahs. And that's why it's mentioning her in this context, which is what we were aiming on earlier in terms of the way Rashi's understanding the connection throughout the entire period of the Midbar to Miriam. So what was her Nevi'ahs? She said, Atida imi shetelet bein shemoshia et Yisrael. V'kivan shenolad Moshe, nitmalei kol habayit kula ora. Amad Avia, v'nashka rosha. Ah, what an amazing kid I've got, he says. Piti, nitkaima nevuatech. And see, it's come true. Here is the or filling the house. And it looked like there was no future for Moshe. He gave her a patch over the head. He said, Biti, do, what is this business? Pretending to tell us the means. So basically, this was part of the insight that she had, Maya Selo, in terms of her da'at of Nevi'ahs, that she had already said. Okay, then we're going into, from this point into the next issues of the Mishnah, where we're talking about Mida Keneged Mida on the Tzad of Zechus as well. And one of the things that we started doing was analyzing how Kadosh Baruch Hu repays Teva with a step beyond what it was that the Teva had been given. That we mentioned before, that Mida has two different meanings, and that over here, indeed, Midas Teva is Meruba, Midas Poranut in terms of quantity, whereas the quality is the same idea. So the next thing that we had in the Mishnah was that Yosef was Zocha, and he had been Kever as Aviv, and then Milon Ugadol, who was greater than Yosef, Lokovo El Moshe. So it's getting to that point. Well, what does that mean that Yosef was the one who buried his father? I mean, first of all, I mean, it isn't really true that he did the entire thing himself. And yet, the Torah does say, both at the beginning and at the end, it mentions Achrei Kovro et Aviv, as if the Kvura of his father was entirely his own. And at the beginning, it says Vayal Yosef Likvor et Aviv. So we have to understand what that means. But also, it's fascinating to see the relationship of his brothers and him in terms of the Mitzrim. Because on the way up to the Kvuras Aviv, it says, Vayal Yosef Likvorat Aviv, Vayalu ito kol avdei paro. So we have Yosef, the avdei paro, and at the end it says v'hadar, v'chol beit Yosef, v'echav, v'beit aviv. So as far as the rest of the family is concerned, they are listed at the very end after the Mitzrayim. But at the end it says, v'yoshov Yosef Mitzrayim u'v'echav, v'chol ha'olim ito likborat aviv. It says beferish that the brothers on the way back, they came before Mitzrayim. How did that happen? Apparently there was a change in their status. And it says the Gemara, indeed, Rabbi Yochanan. But the Chila on the way up, the Egyptians didn't realize the great covet of Yisrael. And therefore, on the way up, they were only noyeg covet with Yosef, who was, after all, the prince of Egypt. At that point, it was the Mishnah Lamelech. So lo nagu ben kovet, but bala besov, shira ubech vodan, after they saw the kovet of Yisrael, nagu ben kovet, they gave immense kovet and pushed the Bnei Yisrael as a family to go before them. Dichtiv, where do we see this? Because it says, vayavo ad goren ha'atad. Now an atad is a thorn bush, and obviously, there's no such thing as people who plant thorns and then they thresh the thorns. Well, in the world is a goren ha'atad. A goren is a threshing floor for tfua. So it doesn't even make any sense. V'chi goren yesh lo la'atad. Omer Rabbi Abo, what this teaches us is, sheyikifua kitarim la'arono shel Yosef, that all of the kings that had come up there, we're going to see what they were doing there, and they had put their crowns around around Yaakov's his coffin, his orin, kigorenze shemakifin lo atad. It often happens that people will put up barbed wire around the goren in order to protect it from people who would try to come at night and steal. That's why Boaz was sleeping out there at night in the goren. So they will put barbed wire around it. In those days, barbed wire was essentially thorn bushes. So they would plant an atad all around. Shrikifu alo atad. Bo b'nei Esav, uv'nei Yishmael, uv'nei Keturah. And then they all came there, and originally their intent was kulam l'milchamabo. They all came because they didn't want Yaakov Avinu to be buried in Eretz Yisrael in the Maraz HaMachpelah, and that would have sealed the kinyan of Eretz Yisrael for Klal Yisrael. So they were trying to stop it right here and now, right at the beginning. But kivan shira'u kitrosho Yosef, when they saw Yosef's keter that was tolui ba'aronoshel Yaakov, nitlu kulam kitrehem, they all took off their crowns and they hung it ba'aronoshel Yaakov, as if to say that nafla ateret roshenu is that our crowns have fallen off, and to show that they too were mitablim because of the loss of Yaakov Avinu. Tana, 36 kitarim nitlu ba'aronor shel Yaakov. There were 36 kitarim that ended up, including the keter of Yosef. So there were 36. Now Rashi learns that these 36 kitarim are the precise number that you have if you take a look at the melachim that you have of Yishmael. So they're listed in the Torah, 13, Nevayot, Kedar, Adbel, Mishpam, and so on and so forth. And then, if you take a look at the Alufei Esav, so we end up having, actually, with them, 23 additional, which is 35, plus Arono, Shel, Yosef, equals 36. Okay. Now, there's a lot of problems with that. Exactly who is considered to be a king, and that these kings of Esav are kings that were over Dorais, and they're not all at the same time. And so there's a very beautiful Karen Oira who explains that the Lamed Vav is Keneged Krisus. So because Yaakov Avinu had been Mechazek all of the connections of the Neshama to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, those connections are what is broken by Chiyuvei Kores. That's what V'nichrus HaNefesh Ayin. And Kores and Keter are exactly the same word. So therefore, when it says that they were Tela Kitrehem, it was Lamed Vav Keter Keneged Lamed Vav Krisus. Very, very sweet. There's also a very an interesting it's from the Balaturim. I'm trying to remember how did it go. So the Balaturim points out to this on this next piece, also beautiful Rosh Teves. But let's first take a look at the story. So it says over there by Yispedur Sham, Mispeid Gadol v'chaved ma'od. So Tana, Afilu Susim, Vafilu Chamorim. So even the horses and the donkeys, they were also in a state of Avelut. So this is very interesting because the idea of the Mamono Shel Adam being an expression of his whole Metzias, this was Noigea, the word Ma'od, right? Because it's B'chol Ma'odecha. B'chol Ma'odecha, this is a Rav Tzadik, B'chol Ma'odecha is a remes to Yaakov Avinu, because the marker of the idea of God, the Chavivim, Mamonam, L'tzadikim, Yoter B'gufam, is Yaakov Avinu, who was Chazer for Pachim Kitanim. So remember that B'chol Ma'odecha means that if people, there are people who care more about their Mamon than their lives, therefore it says B'chol Ma'odecha, that you have to give HaKadosh Baruch Hu all your money, right? So then if it says Ma'od, it could be that it's a remes Gufo to Mamono, which would mean that even the animals that were there actually were expressive of the Avelis. It's very interesting that just recently in the funeral procession of Queen Elizabeth, they had exactly that minag in which they put black drapes over the susim to show that the susim were mamish in a state of Avelis. That's good for the way the Marsha understands the Gemara over here. Because that was the minig at his time as well. So we just saw exactly what that would mean. So that's a ma'ed. Anyway, they come to the Marat HaMachpelah, and Esav comes along, and he is doing his best to try to prevent, obviously, Yaakov Avinu from coming. So this is the beautiful Balaturim who mentions when it says, Vayokom Ste Ephron. The Vayokom Ste Ephron is, if you take a look at the Osios, backwards, the Rosh Teves is Esav, right? So Esav, he tainted that he has a right to half of the Maras HaMachpelah, and that Yaakov already took up one of the Kfarim when he buried Leah. So therefore, he doesn't have a right now to the other half. So comes along Esav, Amar Lahem, and he says to them, listen, this is Mamre, Kiryat Arba, Hi Chevron. So that means that it's Kiryat Arba. Why was it called Kiryat Arba? Omer Rabbi Yitzchak, Kiryat Arba means that there were four zugot. It was Adam and Chava, Avram and Sarah, Yitzchak v'Rivka, Lamaisa, there ended up being Yaakov v'Leia. But getting back to what Esav said, since there's only four zugot, and he took one of the last two kvarim for Leah, because he said, kavarti et Leah. So that means that one kever that's left, that's mine. He doesn't have a right to take that for himself. So all of the achim said to him, but you sold it to him because you gave your rights of the Bechira. You sold it to Yaakov Avinu. Amar Lahuza, Esav said to them, I'm not arguing about the chelik of the Bechira. I'm arguing about the chelik of the Poshet. I mean, at least I get the same amount, don't I? Like any other. So therefore, I get one and he gets one. So they said to him, no, that's not true because you sold even the chelik ha-Poshet. In. Because we know, Dichtiv, as Yaakov Avinu told us, Bekivri Asher Karitili. He said, I bought it. This was the whole story that he took everything that he had made all of this money, and he wasn't interested in the Nechasim of Chutz Laretz, made a big pile of all of that money, and he said, listen, you take all of this, and I get the other kever as well. And you agreed.
Kira.
So you did sell it to him. Why? He says, Asaph, gosh, I don't remember. Do you have a copy of the contract of the sale? So they say, we do have a contract, but it was in the papers that Yaakov Avinu left. We didn't schlep along all the legal papers with us over here. Well, I mean, you'll have to show it to me, says Esav, before I'm ready to be Bivater. So, Havli Igarta? Omrule Igarta Ba'arad Mitzrayim. So what do we do? We're going to have to send somebody very fast. Who should we send? We'll send Naftali, because it says Naftali Ayala Shlucha. So they send Naftali. He should go run back there at Mitzrayim, make a fast job of it. And meanwhile, they'll have to wait until Esav is satisfied. Now, at the time, just a beautiful diak in the pasuk when it says Naftali Ayala Shlucha. So it calls him at that point, Hanoteni Imre Shofer, says Rabbi Avoh, that was a remez, Imre Sefer, that they're going to use him to try to bring the raya of the shtar, the Sefer, Amechira. Anyway, meanwhile, Dan's son, Chushim, he was there, and he was Yikir Leyutne. He was hard of hearing. And because of that, it's interesting, we use the same lotion, hard means heavy of hearing. But same idea, Yekirin Leyudne. So anyway, he didn't understand what was going on because he didn't hear all of the discussion. And he just says, what's going on around here? I thought we were here to bury Yaakov. And instead, what are you doing? Signing the Ksuvah? I don't understand what's going on. This is as bad as those ridiculous weddings. So they said to him, there's nothing we can do. You know, Esav is here and he's preventing the Leviah. We're waiting. We need to wait until Naftali comes back. So Chushim ben Dan says to them, What are you talking about, man? I understand. My grandfather, Yaakov Avinu, is going to be sitting out here waiting for this idiot? Well, we got to prove something to him? This is nuts. So what does he do? Shokal Kupa. So he takes a stick, and Machia Resha, he busts Esav's head, and Natran Enai, and Esav's eyes pop out of his head and fall on Yaakov Avinu's feet. Yaakov lifts up his eyes, opens up his eyes, and he gives a big smile. Ah, at last. V'hainu dichtiv ismach tzadik ki chazon nakom. Bathes his feet in the blood of the Rasha. So this is actually perfect. This is why Dan, this was the whole Kabbalistic issue of Dan. We were those who were learning the Inyanim of Shimshon, the Nachash and the Shvifon, and which we just had before, the Shvifon. And the idea of Dan Nachash was that he was Bechuven Kineged the Nochash, which was the vision of the Sar Shal Esav, which is the Satan. Yeah, there's even a beautiful remez, this the Midrashim, that Esav used to have a tattoo. He put a tattoo on his Yerech, and it was a tattoo of the Nochash. So the Dan Ale Nochash busted the head of Esav. Perfect. And that's
how you kill a snake. I heard him say.
Somebody's got a double problem here. So Yitzmach Tzadik Chazonacham, and at that moment Botasha'a Nitkaima Nevuatasha Rivka. Because remember that Rivka said when she sent away Yaakov, Lama Eshkal Gam Shnechem Yom Echad. Why should I go through the bereavement on the same day? And even though Lamaisa, their deaths weren't the same day, Afar Gavdamitatan Rabbi Yom Echad, but the Eshkal, that is the sense of bereavement that a person feels specifically at a Levaya, Kfuratan Miyabi Yom Echad Avi. And that's what it was that she had recognized Rivka, and that indeed was Mitkayemet in the end. But anyway, so it's very strange. In both cases, at the beginning and at the end, it mentions Yosef as if he were the one who had done the kvura at the beginning. Which says Vayal Yosef likvorat aviv, and it said acharei kovroat aviv, when he comes back. But we know that that's not really the case, because I mean, in the end, it mentions the achim as well. So when you say in the Mishnah that Yosef was zoch and he buried his father, how did that happen? V'lo asak be Yosef echav lo'avim misaske be. I mean, lemaisa, if anything, I mean, he took this away from his brothers. What, you think that his brothers weren't fighting to be able to do the kvura? I mean, v'aksiv v'yisu oto banav arza kenan. So in what sense do we say that they gave it to him, that he was zocher? Why would they do that? They did it because amru, they said to each other, anichula kvodo bimlachim yoter mibehadyot. It's a greater covet for Yaakov Avinu that a melech, which is Yosef, a melech should be the one that takes charge of the levaya, rather than we, the other brothers, who are only hedyotot. Milano Godomi Yosef, no one but Moshe himself came to take the Atzmos Yosef. Tana Rabbanan, bo re'e kama chavivot mitzvot am Moshe. Because kol Yisrael kulam nitasku bebiza, everybody over there was involved in getting as much as they could vayinatzlu et Mitzrayim. They were involved in getting, and of course there was a mitzvah to get that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had told Moshe, please make sure that they do, and they take this. So he, however, was Isaac in mitzvahs. As it says, Chacham Lev Yikach Mitzvot. And this is Moshe Rabbeinu. Minayin Yodea Moshe Rabbeinu Echon Yosef Kavur. I mean, this was a long time. How could he know exactly where to find Yosef? Amru, Serach Bat Asher Nishtayra Mioto Ador. So we know that now it's really not only Serach bat Asher, because basically, Satosis points out, I mean, there were others that were still alive from them, including Bnei Mochir and Melchir and so on. The Bnei Menashe were alive. So why did he go Dafka to Serach? Satosis explains, because remember that according to the Medrash, Serach bat Asher was the one who was given over the Soda Geula with Pakod Yifkod, and she was the one that said, yes, you can trust this guy if he said Pakod Yifkod. Anyway, so he went to her to find out, as part of the Soda Sagu'ula, where exactly the Oron of Yosef was hidden, because that was part of the Pakod Yifkod Elohim Eschem V'halitam Et Atzmotai. So together with Pakod Yifkod went the idea of the Chiyuv of finding the chelek of Yosef Hatzad. So he asked her, Kulumat yodat echan Yosef kavur? And she said to him, absolutely, I know. They made for him these goyim, an aron shel matechet. So they made this very strong coffin for him, and they put him into the nilus anahar, kidei sheyidbarchu meimav, because they needed to get that bracha from him. And all of his life, we know that the bracha of Mayim comes from Yosef. So maybe Otaina, this is a beautiful Rashi, maybe Otaina, that the bracha of Mayim that comes from Yosef, that's the Mayim that comes down as rain. But where do you see that that was all totally in Yosef, and that even the Nile River, where in Mitzrayim it doesn't rain, instead everything comes from the irrigation of the Nilus, so that they needed Yosef for the Nilus as well. So Rashi points out that we have the pasuk in Zechariah that talks about all of the Mishpachot Adama, they have to come up to Yerushalayim, and anybody who doesn't come, lo aleihem yuagesh, it's not going to rain on them, right? And then it says this weird thing, I'm sure all of you have thought of this. It then adds the word, Ve'im mishpachat Mitzrayim lo ta'aleh ve'lo aleihem. And it doesn't say lo aleihem ye'ageshem. It says lo aleihem. So you see that the pasuk puts together the Nile's rising, which is aleihem, which isn't geshem, together with lo aleihem ye'ageshem to all of the other roommates. So therefore, we see clearly that they needed that bracha from Yosef in the Nilus itself. So because of that, they had put him into this very strong coffin, And they put him in the Nilus so that he could never be removed. So it's not going to be so easy to get him out of there. So what did Moshe Rabbeinu do? So he went over to the Nilus and he said to the Nilus, Halach Moshe v'amar al sfat ha-Nilus. Amar lo, and he spoke to Yosef and he said, Yosef, Yosef, you made us make a shvua, and he giyah ha'et, shenishba kadosh baruch hu, shani goel etchem. The time has come, and therefore, since the time has come for the geula, now it's also the time of the shvua that you made, ishbat at Yisrael, again making dependent the pakot yivkod Elohim eschem, together with vahalitim et atzmotai. Therefore, imatamar e'atzbecha, so if you are going to take part in making the kiyum of the Pakot Yivkot together with the Shvua, then fine. But if not, so then we're menukim mishvuatecha. Then there's nothing that we can do. And basically, we are, in that case, potter. At that moment, miyat saf aronosho Yosef, that was the moment that Yosef's orain was eila lamala. Of course, we know the medrash about Alei Shur, and that was the, he wrote on the on a piece of cheres, he wrote Alei Shur, and the Shur, which was the remez to Yosef HaTzadik, was compared to Shur, the Shur, came out. And that was the famous story, that Moshe Rabbeinu's own mess up by insisting that we save this poor little boy that's being crushed. That was the crushy boy that they called Micha, which means the crushed boy. So he took that same thing and he threw it into the pot in order for the eagle to come out. So this was the full story from the beginning to the end. The altitma, ech barzel tzafa. And by the way, I mean, I'm sure you guys are wondering for a minute, well, how do you get a metal coffin to float? What's the big deal? Harektiv, vayi echad mapila kora, v'yeta barzel nafal alamayim. So here we have the story of one of Elisha's tamidim was cutting some wood, and the iron from his axe flew off and fell into the water. And he was very distraught. He says to his Rebbe, Aha, Adoni, oh my God, I borrowed that. What am I going to do? I'll never get another one to be able to pay him back. So Elisha says to him, Vayomer Ish Elohim, where did it fall? And he shows him the place. So Elisha does the same thing. He cuts a little piece of wood, throws it in there, and up comes Vayotzef HaBarza, one of Rashi's favorite quotes. He always brings that posik of Vayotzef HaBarzel whenever he's talking about the parzela that comes up to the top. Anyway, so what's the big deal? Halodvorm Kalvachomer? Listen, Elisha was a Talmud of Eliyahu HaNavi, right? And Eliyahu HaNavi, everything that he learned from Moshe. As Rashi takes this to mean that he was Talmid HaShem Moshe, the way we're all Talmid HaShem Moshe. Not that he learned directly from Moshe, but some point out that if you hold of Elio is Pinchas, so then Pinchas indeed learned directly from Moshe. So maybe it speaks a bit on that. Anyway, so if a Talmud of a Talmud, Elisha was just a Talmud of Moshe, and it was no big deal for him to do the little Vayitzef HaBarzel, the puts up the Barzela with his stick of a piece of wood. So you think it's a big problem for Moshe Rabbeinu himself. So it's a big deal. So we play Moshe Rabbeinu, alachat kama v'kama. Anyway, so this was an old trick. Rabbi Natan Omer, Rabbi Natan says, no, it wasn't that it was underneath the Nilus. Actually, Yosef was buried in a pyramid together with the Malachim of Mitzrayim. So bekarbanitcha Malachim ayakavur. And, you know, nobody knew enough Egyptian to figure out which one is the Yosef one, you know. So Moshe goes in there. Alach Moshe, v'amad al karbanit shamalachim, amar, Yosef, higi ha'et shenishba ha'kadosh baruch hu shani goel etchem, v'higi ha'shvo shishbata et Yisrael, im atamare atzmecha mutav, v'im lav hareyanu minukim mishvuatcha, And at that moment, Yosef's Orayin was Mizdazeya, and he could see immediately in which of these catacombs in the pyramid, which one was Miyuchad for Yosef, Nitalo Moshe Vev Yoetzlo. And the entire period that we were in the Midbar, Oyushnei Aronot Alalu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Orayin, of course, was the Orayin HaBris, which is called an Orayin, Shel Shechina. And then there was the Orayin, the Aron Shel Yosef, Echad Shel Meid VeEchad Shel Shechina, were Ma'alchim Zeim Zeh. They were side by side walking through the Midbar, because after all, if Moshe Rabbeinu had taken Atzmot Yosef Imo B'Mechitzasai, so then that means it was together with Moshe Rabbeinu in Machane Levia. But L'maisa, that means it was right near the place where they would put it up in when they stopped, and then it was the Levium would put it down in the Machane Shechina. But while they were walking, it was the Levium who were walking and carrying. And everybody who looked would say, what the heck? What are those two Aronot that they are carrying? And they would answer, Echad Shel Meit, Echad Shel Shechina. And people would say, that doesn't make sense. V'chima darko shel meit, alechim shechina. And they would answer, indeed, ki em ze, kol ma shekatuv beze, that Yosef HaTzadik was mekayim, every one of the ma'amorim that are written on the luchais that are here in this Orayin. And Rashi actually brings a beautiful mechilta, which explains how it is that we see in the story of Yosef, word for word, that which he did, which was a kiyum of the particular mitzvah that's written in the Aseres HaDvarim. So he was very careful in each one of the mitzvahs, and it's a mamish beautiful, beautiful diyukim. He brings some of them that how careful he was. I mean, some of the most powerful ones. He would say Chei Paro, remember, right? He would never be nice, say the Shem Hashem in a Shvua. And then it says Tvach Tovach V'Hochein. That's for Yachinut Asher Yaviu, for Shabbos Kedesh. And it goes through each one of them, including specifically the idea of the of how he was makbid on his brothers, and he never wanted anything from them. And that's the entire end of not to look at what the Reacha have. Okay, beautiful, beautiful. Do you kedai to take a look at Bechilta to learn each one of them? But anyway, back again to the same question. I mean, we say Moshe Rabbeinu, he was the one that was Isaac in the Kfura of Yosef. I mean, does that really make sense? That Klal Yisrael would not have been pressuring for the Schus to be carrying Atzmas Yosef, and his family wouldn't have been pushing? I mean, like, what do you mean? It's as if nobody cared except Moshe. Elohasik be Moshe Yisrael avi mishaski be. I mean, we know that they were very, very mechavev Yosef, because it says when they came to Eretz Yisrael, that Atzmot Yosef asher helu b'nei Yisrael mi Mitzrayim. By the way, we're going to have to discuss why it says b'nei Yisrael and not Moshe. But anyway, it says they were kovru b'shchem. So those were his children, and they were careful to bring, even after Moshe died, they brought the Atzmos Yosef, and they brought them to Shechem, and look, even if the rest of Klal Yisrael wouldn't have been Misasek, but certainly the family of Yosef, they were very much mechavev the presence of Yosef, because it says Bayulav Ne Yosef Lenachala, that because that was the place where Yosef was buried, it became mamish and nachala. So it's like a national heritage spot, they call it today, you know. So this was their place. I mean, they were obviously very, very mechavev Yosef. So how do we say that Yosef was buried by Moshe as if nobody else cared? Ah, that's because Amru, the family, said at that time that, look, we're not going to take him. Now that Moshe died, we're not going to take him. Why? Because if all of Yisrael want to be mechabed, our great-grandfather, it's a bigger covet. Kvodo b'merubim, yoter mi b'miutim. So let Kol Yisrael be mechabed Yosef HaTzadik. And even while Yosef was being carried by Moshe, they said, it's better, anichulo, kvodo bigdolim, yoter mi bigtanim. You don't think that's a bigger cover to Yosef, that Moshe Rabbeinu carries him, and that he's there together with the Orion of the Shekhinah? Let's allow that, and we'll be mavater. After all, what we really want is his cover, not our cover. And then it says, kavru b'shchem. So when they came afterwards, they buried him in Shechem after Moshe was no longer with them. Why in Shechem? Om Rabbi Chama bar Rabbi Chanina, because that's where he was stolen from. B'Shechem inavuhu. And Rashi points out again in greater detail here than he does in the Chumash, that when the Malach told Yosef that I heard them saying, let's go to Dotaina, Yocha Dotaina, here Rashi says that it wasn't even the name of a place. They were still in Shechem, and that it only meant what he explains over there. Not that it's the name of a dot town of like Lakewood, the Yir HaTorah, but that it was not a place at all. It was a state of mind. So let's go to Religiousville, where we can make up good reasons for why it is we have to get rid of Yosef. You can always find a good reason for everything as long as you've got the Bible on your side. So if that's the case, then that means that when they took Yosef and stole him and sold him, it was in Shechem. But remember that Shechem was the place that he had been sent by Yaakov Avinu as a mission. So that was his shlichut, and he was mekabel that shlichut. So the closure of that mission was for all of Yisrael. Isn't that beautiful? He had been sent to Shechem in order to, at that early stage that Yaakov Avinu hoped that, hinei achecha ro'im b'Shechem, go and try to create shalom, basically. Shloim achecha. And it took all of those years, all of those centuries, but we finally have closure, and all of Yisrael brought him back to Shechem. Whoa. What a beautiful, beautiful remez. So that's why b'Shechem. Mishchem ginavuhu, u'l'shchem, they said, nachzir avidato. Let's bring him back where he was taken from. Says the Gemara, but wait a minute. Didn't it just say, et atzmot Yosef asher ha'alu b'nei Yisrael? And we had made such a big deal that it was Moshe specifically. So what was it? Was it Moshe? Or was it the B'nai Yisrael? So Koshu Karaya Adari, is this a contradiction? First, we had that whole idea of Ayikach Moshe, that's what Yosef Imo. And then it says that that's what Yosef Asher Alu B'nai Yisrael. Amar Rabbi Chama, Rabbi Chanina, this teaches us an incredible limud, that Kol Ha'osed Devar, V'lo Gemaro, somebody was Matchil B'mitzvah, Omrim Lo Gemar, if somebody else has to come along and complete the mitzvah, then the Torah is going to call the mitzvah on the name of the one who completed it. It's as if he did the whole thing. So since the completion of this mitzvah, for us Yosef, was done by B'nai Yisrael, that's as if they took him out, even from the beginning, Asher He'alu B'nai Yisrael. Rabbi Elazar Omer, it's more than that. If it's the person's own fault that he doesn't complete the mitzvah, so then af moridim oto migdulato, he ends up losing his chashivas. And where do we see this? Gufa by the mechira of Yosef. Because it says, vayi ba'etahi, vayered Yehuda. And what's the vayered Yehuda? That he lost his madrega. And what do we say over there? That Rashi explains, he said, listen, you were the one who told us that Ma Betza, right? Why should we kill him? Ma Betza kinaro getachino. And we listened to you. So you think if you would have told us, listen, you idiots, let's just bring him back to Yaakov Avinu, we wouldn't have listened to you. So instead of stopping at Ma Betza, why didn't you go all the way? Because of that, he lost his chashivas. They were married in Migdulatza. Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmeni Omer, it's worse than that. Af koveri shtov anav, he buries his wife and children. because that's what happened to Yehuda immediately afterwards. That beginning of the story is Vayere. He goes and he marries Batshoa. And then it says, Vatomot Batshoa Eshet Yehuda, followed by the death of Erva Onan. And all of this is a direct continuation of Vayere Yehuda Me'etecha. Omer Rav Yehuda Omer Rab, Mipnei Ma Nikra Yosef Atzamot B'chayav. Why is Yosef, he even refers to himself, the Elitemet Atzmotai. That's not a very nice way of referring to oneself in one's lifetime. And that was because he felt, Mipnei Shalom Nikra B'chvod Aviv. He should have, the moment that the brother said to him, the Ka'am Relay, Avdecha Avinu, he should have said, what's this Avdecha Avinu? What, are you crazy? Your father is not my Eved. I don't even know your father. How do you refer to your father in such a low-class way? But he didn't say anything. He was quiet. So since he wasn't Moche Dechvod Aviv, when they said Avdecha Avinu, Velo Amarlohu Velo Mide, so because of that, he himself is reduced to Atzamot. The Amar of Yeromarab, or some say it was Reb Chama or Reb Chanina. Why is it that Yosef died at a very early age? He died at the age of only 110, and all of the brothers died after him, and they were older than him. None of them died at less than the age of Me'a Ve'esrim. So why did he die early? Mipnei ma met Yosef kodem l'achav, mipnei shinhig atzmo berabanut, and the rabanut koveret et ba'aleah. Once you have to act like you're in charge, you're dead. Vayosef urad mitzrayma. So now, let's talk about the actual Yerida of Yosef. When it says that Yosef urad mitzrayma, says Rabbi Elazar, it's merames to Yosef horid mitzrayma. Because when he came down to Mitzrayim, he busted Mitzrayim up. All the ones who were in charge at that time, the Itztagnine Paro, he was murried them. Because when Paro had his dream, not one of them had anything intelligent to say. And it was Yosef that showed them all up. And therefore, Paro no longer trusted his mitztagnim. Vayikneu Potiphar sris Paro. And Paro, his Potiphar, which is called here a saris, bought him. So when he says, Vayikneu Amarab, well, of course, he was gorgeous. So he bought him for himself. He figured he would make him his sex slave. And at that moment, Gavriel came along and he emasculated him, which is worse than Sirso. It's like cut him completely open. We won't go into the details. But Meikarxi Potiphar. But at the end, it says Potiphera. So Potiphera is worse than Saris Paro. He is Parua. Anyway, continues on the Moshe. Mi lanu gadol mi Moshe. HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, Kaviyocho, was the one who took care of his kvura. So this is another Mida connected Mida. This is also the beautiful Medrash that how in the world did Moshe Rabbeinu get, you know, from the place in which he was brought in all the way over to where he was buried, which was quite a distance. Okay, we'll take a look and we'll get to that. More of the details of what it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyocho is betapo in him. But we go on to say, Milano Godom mi Moshe, and talking about how great Moshe was, let's take a look at how much Mida Kineged Mida, because the greater you are, the greater is your madrega to be able to bring out the Mida Kineged Mida. By Yomar Hashem Eli, Moshe Rabbeinu speaks it out. Hashem said to me, Ravlo, Al Tosef Taberiti, don't talk to me anymore about this. I'm tired of hearing your requests to go into Eretz Yisrael. So Omar Rabbi Levi, yes, that's the point he was bringing out. Moshe Rabbeinu used the word Ravlachem when he was fighting with Kairach, and he's speaking to the B'nai Levi, and he said, Rav Lachem B'nai Levi, so Barav Biser. So that's the way that he sat there and he's telling everybody else off. And Barav Bisruhu, that's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu let him know what he's worth. Rav Lach. What did he do that was wrong? It's a beautiful word by my Rebbe, Reb Chaim Shmulevitz. What he said was that you cannot tell a person who is searching for greater madregas in Ruchnias. You can't tell them, Rav. Even if what they're doing, the way they're doing it, is completely wrong, but you don't use the word that you have no right to that madrega. And that's what he was saying. So to say that it's inappropriate the way you're asking for it, yes. But to tell them that if they were dreaming of the kahuna, Ravla, Maisa, as we see in the end, that a person's madrega as a kohen gadol, as the Rambam says, can be had by anybody, and that is miskadesh kadosh kadoshim. So you never tell someone Ravla. And therefore, when Moshe Rabbeinu was being mevakesh, the higher madrega, to be zeicher to the mitzvahs of Eretz Yisrael, that's when he was told Ravlach. You see what it means? To have limits on your growth? That's a disaster. It's mamish the end of Yitzhak Mitzrayim, in which the whole concept of freedom is that there cannot be limits to growth. That's why they told him Ravlach. Davar Acher, he was told Ravlach, sorry Moshe, but you've got a rabbi, Rav Yeshlach, there's somebody bigger than you who needs to take over, and that's Yoshua. Because if you would come into Eretz Yisrael, then we would have to push away the malchus of Yehoshua. And ein malchus no god bechaverta afilu kimlo nimas. It means Rav in terms of his turn for malchus. Davar acher, Rav lach, enough talking. Shelo yomru harav kama kashet, v'tamid kama sarvan. Look at the Rav, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's so tough, so unforgiving. And look at the Talmud. He keeps pushing. He doesn't know when to stop. Is this what you believe our relationship should look like to others? And that's why you should shut up. The Kokach Lama. So why was HaKadosh Baruch Hu so midas adin, ad kedekach, mida kenegin mida, with Moshe Rabbeinu on every word? Tone de Rabbi Shmuel, that's the whole point. Lufum gamla shichna. As they say, the stronger the camel is, the more you can load onto him. Moshe Rabbeinu was so powerful that he could tolerate the gilui of the hatova of midas hadin to the last word of his life. Vayomer aleihem. So Moshe says to everyone, ben mi'ah v'yisrim shana anochi hayom. What's the meaning of hayom? Hayom means hayom malu yomei shenotai, yomayu shenotai, which teaches us, today I was born, and today I will die, from where we learned that HaKadosh Baruch Hu mashlim shenoteihem shel tzadikim miyom liyom u'michodesh lechodesh tichtiv et mispar yamecha amalei, to show that it's a complete use of every moment, of every part of the cycle of life. Lo chalot letzeit v'lavo. So what does that mean, lo chalot letzeit v'lavo? What do you think it means? That Moshe Rabbeinu was an old schleppy guy hobbling along on a cane. I'm too old to walk, you know, I can, it's no big loss. No! Ridiculous. What do you think? Ilema letzeit v'lavo mamash. Berktiv u'moshe ben me'ah v'esrim shana b'moto. Lo nas lecho. He was absolutely as juicy and alive as a teenager. And therefore, Lachluchito was not any less at all. And his kayak was exactly the way that it had been before. And not only that, when it describes his last moments, it says, Vayal Moshe Me'arvot Moav El Har Nevo. You know, it's a big jump from Har to go up from Arvot Moav to Har Nevo. And obviously we know he's in Arvot Moav because that's what it says a moment ago. The Klal Yisrael was there in Arvot Moav. So it's coming to tell me the distance from Arvot Moav al Har Nevo, that there were Shtei Mesrei Ma'alot Ayusham. There were 12 separate steps along the mountain. M'pisa'an Moshe b'psi'achat. Moshe took the ball in one Olympic jumps. And he went straight from Arvot Moav, Kineged Yud Beshvatim, as the Medrash says. And He took it all because he was kolel all of them in one leap. Okay, but obviously he was not hobbling along on a stick. I mean, this wasn't the Special Olympics we're talking about over here. This is the real thing. So therefore, how can it say, it means, this is the Maharal's approach. Remember that Moshe Rabbeinu's problem of being a kvad peh is that there was no way for him to translate the incredible Torah that was flowing in him into words that could be understood by human beings. So he was a kvad peh. The schus that was given to him in the Keach of Dvorim to be able to be Manag Yisrael was that his Mayanot Chochmah should be limited in a way that enabled him to express them to others so that he would see them from both points of view. But when it came to the end of his life, those were closed to him. Now he was stuck with this flow of energy. They had no way of being able to communicate. So he was no longer able to give over the Shaarei Chochmah. And then it says, Vayelech, it doesn't say then, but it said before when Moshe was giving over to Yoshua the Keach of his Nevi'ahs, it says, Vayelech Moshe v'Yoshua, v'yitiatzfu, v'lo moed. That was the last Shabbos. So Tana Oto Shabbat shel diu zuge haita. Very similar to the Shabbos that the Gemara describes of Shabbat Shalni after the rebellion and after Ariani Kiven Shivim Shana and Yitzias Mitzrayim. So we use the same exact Russian. It was the Shabbos of Diuzugi. So here too, in which there were two people that were in charge. Nitla Rashut Mizeh and Nitna Lezeh. So they saw at one time Moshe Rabbeinu and Yehoshua. And Omar Rabbi Yehuda, if it wouldn't say this beferish in the Torah, how could we say such a chutzpah? Let me ask you something. Where did Moshe die? Right? It says, Vayal Moshe, Yarvot Mohav El Har Nevo. But Har Nevo is in the chelik of Reuven. It says beferish. Nevo, Bechalkash Reuven, Kaimich, Ebnei Reuven, Banu Nevo. So that means he died in Nevo. And it's actually even called Nevo, because it's a place where Shlosha Nevi'im, Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam were all in that area. But where is he buried? He's not buried in Nevo, because he's buried in the Chelek of God, not in the Chelek of Reuven. Because it says, Vayar Reishitlo. So in the Brocha of God, it said that he saw that Chelkat Michokek, who was Reishis, who was Moshe, and he's buried there, and that's why he was Zeicha. He wanted to have that chelik where Moshe Rabbeinu was buried, which is Chalkat Mechokek. It was called Moshe's the Mechokek. Now, to get from Nevo to the chelik of God is Araba Milin. Okay, that's a pretty long funeral procession of 4 kilometers. Now, I ask you, who was it that carried the Aron of Moshe from the place where he died on the vote till the place where he was buried? Well, there's only one conclusion. We're saying the Hespedim. This is what it means, Milan Ugado Mimesha, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the one that actually was Isaac in the Leviah of Mesha. The Malachi Asharet, we're saying Sitka Hashem Asah, Umishpato in Yisrael. So those psukim that we have that are clearly a hesped on Moshe Rabbeinu, that was said at that moment by the Malachim who were together with the Shechina. And this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying, Mim Yitiat Sevli in Pali Oven. So who do I have left in the world that can take care of the ones who are Chayte? He was the one that he acted against Kerach. He acted in the moment of the Egel Azov. He was the one who took care of Shittim. This is like unbelievable. What am I going to do now? Give a Yochel. Yishmul Amar. Mi ke'achacham u'mi yodea pesha davar. Who can find a compromise when things are bad? That means that you need somebody like Moshe to be able to find a solution to the problems between me, says the Shekhinah, and my children. Who is there now? Rabbi Yochanan Omar, the hesped was, HaChokhmah Me'ayin Timatze. And who is the Me'ayin? It's only Moshe Rabbeinu. He was the one that saw himself as Anachnu Ma. He was the Ayin. That was the whole Mokra of Chokhmah. Who am I going to talk to now? All of these stuck-up idiots down there. Reb Nachman Amar, Vayomot Sham Moshe Eved Hashem. That was the most incredible. Vay, Meit Sham Moshe Eved Hashem. Where am I going to have an Eved like this? Samalyan Amar, Tesis brings over here that some say Samalyan is the name of a Malach, and others say Samalyan is the name of a Chacham. Vayomot Sham Moshe Safra Rabba de Yisrael. He was the biggest Talmud Chacham of Yisrael. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu missed. Tanya, Rebbe Eliezer, Agadol, Omer, Shneim Asar Mil, Al Shneim Asar Mil. The immense hesped was, you could hear that hesped over 12 mil by 12 mil, which is the size of the entire Machane Yisrael. You could hear a basko that was saying, Vayomos Moshe, Safra Rabbi Yisrael. Whereas others say, Moshe Rabbeinu, what do you mean, Vayomos? He didn't really die. I mean, it says over here, Vayomot Sham, by Moshe, and it uses the same word, Vayhi Sham, Im Hashem. So just like the Sham, when he was Im Hashem, he was Omeidu Mishamesh. He wasn't lying down sleeping. Hafkan Omeidu Mishamesh, the same Sham, which we call Vayomot by Moshe, means that he was basically standing still, alive, and being Meshamesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu as an Eved Hashem. Vayikbor oto begai be'eretz Moav mul beit Peor. Look, I mean, this is, I mean, ways shouldn't have any problem if you put in mul beit Peor, right? Or you say begai Moav. So ways should get you right there. So why does it say that lo yada ish et kvurato? I mean, they obviously had access to ways. So how could it be? Omer of Bracha, you see how insane this is? Siman betoch siman. You've got all kinds of different ways of entering your location, and it doesn't help. Vafilu achi, lo yada ish et kvurato. So we don't have to hide it from you. You ain't going to find it. And actually, the Romans, they wanted very much to open up a tourist spot for Barnea, right at the Kever of Moshe. Yeah, then we could, they could turn it into a Christian spot too, you know, like they do with everything else. So they sent a team of archaeologists over with all of their imaging instruments and their GPSs, and they were going to find exactly where Moshe Rabbeinu's Kfura was. And they ended up discovering relativity instead. So they went to the Gistra, the Gastra of Beit Pa'ar, the governor of that area, and they said, we need to know where Moshe is kofor. Here's the coordinates. So they go there, Amdula Mala, they go up to the top, and they see a kvura. It's down at the bottom of the mountain. They go down to the bottom of the mountain, and it's not there. They look up, and it's at the top of the mountain. So they said, okay, playing tricks. We'll split into two. So they were nechlikul, the shteikitot. So the ones that went to the top, they see it on the bottom. The ones that are on the bottom, they see it on the top. And they're radioing to each other. Where the heck is this damn thing? Like, okay. So they realized, you know, it's all relative. So Otan Shamdi Lamala, Nidmelem Lamata. The ones are Amdim Lamata, Nidmelem Lamala. The Kayem Mashin Amar, nobody's going to know. Velo Yada Ish Et Kvurato Ad Ayom Hazeh. And when it says Ish et Kvurato, you know who that includes. It says Reb Chama b'Rebbe Chanina, that means even Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't know. Because he's called Ha'ish Moshe. So Av Moshe Rabbeinu eino yodea heichan kovo. Because the Kvura of Moshe is from the biggest Seidei Satera. And it was a step beyond Moshe Rabbeinu's own yodea. Because it says V'lo yada Ish et Kvurato. So it means he himself doesn't know his mokum of kfura. Wow. Okay. Beautiful. So this is all part of our incredible story of Yetzias Mitzrayim coming into Eretz Yisrael. All of what amazing timing is absolutely fabulous, right?